Thank you, young lady. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. All right, Peter says this: "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Okay? So this is the first thing he does. And, you know, the Apostle Paul talks about the idea of the renewing of your mind. Here he talks about stirring up your mind. How? By remembrance, okay? There's just certain things to remember, it's good, okay? And we do that all through life. So there's certain things we try to remember. You know, it's not a year goes by, my wife doesn't bring our anniversary up, you know? Just seems to work that way. But stir up your minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So, two things. Come on, you Cassiolas. All right. We got the Wellsville crowd here now. All right, we're in 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're commenting on verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior. And the apostles did give certain commandments. Jesus Christ gave certain commandments. Love one another, okay? There are certain things that they taught them. Do things this way. And he says, keep those things in mind, okay? Then he says in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. And as the Apostle Paul talked about, you know, evil men shall wax worse and worse. I mean, it's not going to get any better in the world, okay? It's one of those things that as it goes on, it's going to get worse and worse. And it's interesting, it says scoffers walking after their own lusts. David Bell and I were talking down there earlier, and we were just talking about the idea that, for one thing, you don't have to always agree with everybody. Get the scriptures. One of the things I've tried to do is teach you how to get in the scriptures. Learn them for yourselves. Learn what they say. Understand what they say, okay? Don't ever be afraid to disagree with other people on it. But the difference with a scoffer is they're not interested in the truth. They've got some lust, money, sex, power, whatever. Just ego, whatever, that's what's really motivating them, okay? And be careful because that can happen to you, okay? You can find yourself just your ego, you know? You don't want to give in on something or whatever else. And, you know, some prideful lust that's got you going and it'll turn you into a scoffer. And so be careful of that. You know, when people come up and they tell me new things that I haven't heard before, whatever else, sometimes I'm able to debunk it instantly, you know. If you came up and tried to tell me that Joe Biden's really here from Mars and, you know, the space aliens put him there, chances are I'm going to dismiss that pretty quickly, all right? But, yeah. Yeah. But.
Always one guy.
Yeah. But the point is, there's other stuff people can go up and tell you. Put it in a file folder. Okay? Think about it. Maybe you can dismiss it pretty quickly, but put it in a file folder. It never hurts you to take in new ideas, okay? If you're too old to learn, you're too old. Okay, you're just, learning's a fun thing to do. It never hurts to have your opinion changed, okay? In English history, there's a man who back in the 1600s used to brag that he never changed his mind on anything after he was 16 years old. And I just couldn't imagine being around a person like that.
Such a foolish statement.
Yeah, what an absolutely foolish statement, okay? So always be open to the idea that, you know, something, don't just scoff because somebody's saying something different that you haven't heard before, okay? And the other idea, realize there are people like that. Now, verse 4, and here's what they say. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So this is something that scoffers say. In other words, think about how many times you've heard that. You know, you talk, well, Jesus is coming again. Well, I've heard that all my life. Okay? All right? You're going to die someday. Well, I've heard that all my life. Does that mean it's not going to happen? No. It is going to happen one day. It may not happen in your lifetime, but there's a promise in the Bible that Jesus Christ is going to return. Yeah. But the people look at continuity and they say things have always worked exactly like we see now. Okay, whatever scientific process I see now, that has always been the process by which it's worked. Okay, so for example, your Bible talks about continental drift. It tells you that when the earth was created, it was all one continent. But it shows that the continents were split at one time. In the days of Peleg was the earth divided, okay? Bam, one time. But you can measure today, and they do measure today, and they find the continents are drifting apart so many inches per year. Therefore, they say, well, how far apart are they? That's how old the world is. Say, no, because your Bible tells you it happened, bam, quickly. That it divided quickly, okay? So what they do is they say, well, all processes we see are exactly as we see them today. No, some have sped up, some have slowed down. You take the Bible as scientific fact, okay? I do. It's never hurt me. Okay? There's no place. You know, I asked a fellow one time, because obviously I've got a lot of family members, friends, and everything else who, they're not going to take the Bible scientifically, all right? Does that mean I don't like them? No, okay? They differ with me, I differ with them, okay? But the thing is, ask yourself, if evolution was not true, what science would change? Well, think about it. What science would change? Would surgery change? True. Would atomic medicine change? Would astronomy change? The only sciences that would change are the social sciences. Those are the only ones that would change. It would not change one single scientific fact of how things operate on this earth today. Not one. Okay? And so right off the bat, the idea that we're unscientific. So I myself don't believe in two-celled creatures.
That's right.
I don't have to believe in them. They've never existed. Okay, now you can go and take the, and go out and do fossil hunting, and you can take all the fossil evidence there is. I don't know, I flunked the eighth grade, so I took earth science twice. But the thing is, you can take all the, you know, fossil evidence, and we study that heavy then. But regardless of that, I've obviously done more on it than then. But the point is, all the fossil evidence is full of one-celled creatures. It's all over. There's no place on the earth you can go and find a fossil evidence that doesn't have one-celled creatures in it. But there's no two-celled creatures. There's no four-celled creatures. There's no eight-celled creatures. There's no 16-celled creatures. There's no 32-celled creatures. There's no 64, okay? 128. They don't exist. But imagine to yourself, if really what happened was protein synthesis took place and there was, you know, a life form began to, on its own, you know, an electric strike somewhere and just the right chemicals and all that kind of thing. And, you know, it started to change. And this is, of course, the evolutionary theory, okay, with the idea that life was created like that, okay? Imagine how long the earth was run by one-celled creatures. Not run, but that dominated the earth. Well, how long would it have been dominated by two-celled creatures? By four-celled, by eight-celled, by 16, by 32, by 64, okay? So I don't even have to get into this other stuff about second law, thermodynamics, or anything else. If you believe in evolution, you believe by faith that at one time there were two-celled creatures. By faith, you believe at one time there were four-celled creatures, eight-celled creatures. You believe that by faith. That's fine. You can believe anything. You can go down to Cuba, get a manhole cover, call it Jesus. This is America. Do whatever you want to do, okay? God forbid that I interrupt that or anything else. But at the same time, I believe, for example, if we find life on Mars, it's because it was seeded. If we find life on Europa, it's because it was seeded there. Okay?
What does seeded mean?
Put a seed in the ground. Okay? It was seeded. Okay? If a heifer has a calf, it was seeded. Okay, it was not spontaneous. Okay, it was seeded. It was put there. I don't know if God put life on these other planets. I find there's some Bible evidence of that kind of thing. I don't know. But at the same time, I don't believe that anywhere on Mars you're going to find evidence where anything just boom, came up a billion years ago and lived that way. There's people who do believe it. That's fine. I'm not their enemy. I hope I'm not their enemy. All right. But, yeah. So again, it says, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, verse 5, for this they are willingly are ignorant of. They're not just ignorant. They have chosen, I will not know this. Okay? Now, I don't believe it. Ignorance is not knowing something. Okay? Ignorance in itself isn't a crime. There's a lot of things I'm ignorant of. Okay? I don't have any idea how much any of you have in your bank account. I'm ignorant. All right? It's not a bad thing. All right? I'm not stupid. All right? If you told me, I might remember for all the 24 hours. I can't remember how much is in mine. But the point of that is, here they're willingly ignorant. They've chosen. I don't want that knowledge. I don't want that. Okay? A sign that you're being brainwashed is when you're afraid to take in knowledge.
Right. That's right. Yes. Howard.
Okay? I never want to believe something that I have to tie up a partial part of my mind to believe it. Okay? I remember when I lived on the Wasatch Front in Utah back in the 70s, and the Mormons would come around, and they're really wonderful people. They just are, okay? And, I grew up dope smoking and riotous in Machias, New York, and, and made a fool of myself in every which way you could, and suddenly I'm living out somewhere, and I've told the story before. My friend and I, we went to the same high school over here at Pioneer, and we were in the Air Force out there in Utah, and one time we're driving around, and he stopped the car. What'd you stop for? And he pointed to a stop sign that somebody had blown apart with a shotgun. They have real people here. Cattaraugus County, I don't know if there was a stop sign when I was a kid that didn't have, wasn't blown apart by a shotgun. But, every girl looked like Marie Osmond or an Ivory Soap commercial or whatever else. And it was attractive to me, that idea, just that clean, wholesome living. And you look on Sunday morning and boys and girls walking and men in suits and women in dresses. And it just had an attraction to me. But every time they would talk to me about Jesus showing up to the American Indians and the prophet Moroni or the angel Moroni and, Joseph Smith, I always felt like I had to take part of my mind and tie it up and not use it.
Especially those magic
underwear. Yeah, it's not quite how they believe. If you want to read about that, I've got a good book on it over at the house. But the point is, when I first got into the Word of God, I thought that evolution would be a big stumbling block to me. Okay, and it turned out it wasn't a stumbling block at all to me. Okay. Turned out that it's a lot more logical to believe in creation than it is to believe in evolution. Yeah, it's just the difference is this. If you get up on a mountaintop and you find a fossil, there's three reasons for that. One, somebody put it there. Number two, the mountain raised up high. Or number three, one time the water was as high as the mountain. Only one of them is legal to teach in the United States. The other one is illegal. You cannot teach it. You cannot teach that the flood happened. You cannot teach. It's illegal. And then they say, we brainwash people.
Is that
okay? Why not get, what's that?
Is that all?
There is no state in which you are allowed. The state of Pennsylvania used an intelligent creation thing, and the federal judge ruled that you are making children stupid.
Oh my God.
All right?
Because that nothing exploded and... Yeah.
Something
happened. Right.
Right. How can nothing explode? Because that's so much more intelligent.
I understand. But somewhere you have to believe by faith. I believe by faith God always existed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody else believed he didn't always exist. Okay. And again, that's what the freedom's about.
That's right.
Don't ever doubt that. Okay. I recently wrote to a doctor in Olean, some of you know that I know her fairly well, and she writes in the Olean Times Herald and such and defends Muslim things. And I've always defended her for that. We've become good friends over that. Just the idea that You know, and just explaining to her again, I said, you know, the beaches of Normandy never checked to see whether it was Muslim blood or Catholic blood or, you know, Mormon blood or Baptist blood. It just accepts the blood of any American, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, on the in the sands of Afghanistan, you know, they never checked to see what religion somebody is, you know, when they when the Taliban blows an American up or whatever else. And it's so important that you not close doors, that you keep your mind open, that you allow anybody to believe what they want to believe and be able to have that free interaction back and forth with them, okay? To me, it's a great credit to me that a, you know, that a hyper-religious Jew, how's that for hyper, out of Israel likes to visit here every 2 years and come by and sit here and talk and go over things, all right? We don't believe the same, but again, I love interchange of ideas with him. Mm-hmm. Is that going to hurt me? Okay. You know, if I believe up is up and you say it's down, do I have to pitch a fit? No. All right. Sooner or later, you're going to discover that up is up. Okay. And people can change your mind on that kind of thing. And so here we're talking, though. He's talking about people who are willingly ignorant. They've said, I don't want to know that. Okay. Is there anything you don't want to know? Well, yeah. Yeah. TMI, you know. There's, yeah. That's, but. Yeah, but when it comes to science, go ahead and tell me your theories. Go ahead and tell me the stuff you believe. You know, what if it changes my mind on something? You know, is that going to hurt me? Okay. A person that doesn't change their mind is like a person that doesn't change their underwear. They stink after a while. All right. All right, so here's what they say again, verse 4. It's saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly or ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Okay? Now, that's commonly taught as Noah's flood. I don't believe that describes Noah's flood. Okay? In Noah's flood, the earth was underneath the water. It's not in the water and out of the water. But in Noah's flood, the earth is not in the water and out of the water. Okay? Noah's flood happened.
But how does that explain, because the water came from the heavens, so wouldn't that have been out of it?
It does say the waters came from the heaven, but the entire earth was drowned. Okay. But that's a good statement, Jody. No problem with that statement. To study it sometime, two different sets of books you can read. Velkovsky. Velkovsky was an atheist Russian Jew, a friend of Einstein's. He was an expert at languages. Whenever they would find a new hieroglyphic around the world, now Velkovsky had been dead for like 50 years, but whenever they would find a new language around the world, they always brought Velkovsky in. And he said that he could read over 70 extinct languages. He ended up believing, as an atheist, that Noah's flood happened because he said every single culture in the world, no matter where, whether it be the Aborigines of Australia, or be it the Inuit of Siberia or Alaska, the Amazon River basins, every single culture of the world described the flood. Every single one of them. And not only that, the names of the people all meant the same thing. Like Noah has a meaning. Everyone, and he said, if I'm a man of science, I have to agree the flood happened, okay? But he wasn't a very good man of science, and so his book on it has a lot of error in it. So then a guy out of the University of Minnesota, and I can't think of his name right now, Donald something or other, but he wrote a book called The Biblical Flood and the Ice Epic.
It's in the library.
Okay, we have it in the library. Okay, The Biblical Flood and the Ice Epic. There he goes ahead, and he puts the science to it. And, for example, he asked the question, during the Alaskan Gold Rush, for example, restaurants sold mastodon steaks.
Yes,
okay? The Russians still eat mastodon steaks. Okay? Wow. They'll find them and eat them. So the question is, how cold would it have to be to freeze an entire mastodon? So this guy who writes the book went to the American Cattlemen Association. How much of a cow can you freeze? The most that they could do in the 60s when he wrote the book is 1/4 of a cow is the most they could do. They couldn't freeze a whole half cow at one time and keep all the meat. And yet there's mastodons that you can slit them open and find the buttercups they ate.
Right.
Now, how cold was that?
Oh,
cold, how fast.
How cold did that happen that could happen?
The speed of the cold.
Right. Not only that, he's showing you the amount there were. The Russians, for over 400 years, mined all those islands you see up in the Arctic there and still mine them for ivory, bringing it down from the mastodons. And it's been profitable to them to do it. That's how many mastodons there were. And all of them were wiped out like that. So he goes in and he goes ahead and he comes scientifically, what would it take to freeze? And it actually, it's a Kelvin temperature. If you're familiar, we have Celsius, Fahrenheit, but in science you have Kelvin. No molecular movement at all is 0 degree Kelvin. And he comes out and he finds a temperature that you really could freeze a whole mastodon at one time. But the only place that exists is the ice rings around the planets. Okay? So he takes the theory that at one time another planet got caught in the Earth's orbit and its ice ring flung down. And that would have killed them all at once. Now, number two, he says this. Take a globe and hang it from the ceiling and spin it. Now take a can of white paint and throw it at the globe. Look at the pattern. It's the exact pattern of the ice age. The ice ages are not uniform all over the earth. The ice ages are all up and down and such. And it's the exact pattern if you threw that white at that spinning globe. Okay? So to him, that settled it. At one time, an ice ring came over this. The next proof he did is the law of magnetism. Take two bar magnets, or even just two magnets, and spin them where their magnetic attraction can touch each other, and eventually they'll get the same rotation. So then he asked the question, with the planets, if they're just flung out of the sun, like evolutionists say, what are the odds that any two would have the same rotation? And yet Mars and Earth are almost exact.
How would they get back?
They at one time were caught in each other's rotation. Okay, they were together as a binary. And what would that have done? The tidal force would have caused the flood. Okay.
I read recently that they discovered that they think there was evidence of water on Mars at one point in time.
Yeah, there's all sorts of. There's water there now. They just find that there's a lot more. But again, all I'm saying is this. There are two different men looked at the Genesis story through the eyes of science because, again, they're not forbidden to. You can't do it in American high school, okay?
Yeah.
That's forbidden. You cannot do that. That's knowledge that willingly they will not take. You're right. Not allowed to teach that, okay? So there they've taken this and shown you that, yes, that could be exactly so. That's exactly how that could have worked, okay? But regardless of that, this is not Noah's flood. Okay.
Well, it says it perished, so could have been like the Lord started.
Earth or the world?
Well, what's the difference, though? Because it says whereby the world perished.
Okay. Earth, in your Bible, is talking about terra firma. Okay? The planet, the ground, or whatever. World is the system on it. Once, there's a couple of verses where it's a combination of the system on it and the planet. But in almost every case, world is talking about the system, the people, the cultures, everything else. When you're worldly and earthy, two different things, okay? Go to Psalm 24. Look at that. Mr. Caleb, this is cold. Would you be so kind as to pour that out? Give me some hot. Thank you very much, sir. Psalm 24 says this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it where? Upon the seas. Okay? On the seas.
In the water.
In the water.
Right.
Found it upon the seas, okay? All right? And established it upon the floods. So at one time, the earth floated on the water. Isn't that what Peter, thank you very much, young man. Isn't that what Peter just described? The earth in the water and out of the water?
Yep.
It's That's what he described, okay? He described that. So keep this in mind. I am not a person that believes Genesis 1:1 is the beginning of everything.
Amen.
It doesn't say that, okay? And again, at the beginning and in the beginning, they're two different things, okay? At the beginning of your marriage is not the same as in the beginning of your marriage. At the beginning, was it an altar or front of a magistrate or something of that sort, all right? In the beginning could be anywhere that throws first opening months or years or whatever else, okay? Churchill made his famous statement after the Battle of Alamein. They'd just been getting their butts kicked by the Germans and they finally won a battle. And he just said this. He said, let us not think that this is the beginning of the end.
Isn't there like seven beginnings in the Bible?
There are seven beginnings in the Bible. Yes, that's right. Different beginnings. That's right. But he says, let's not say that this is the beginning of the end, okay? Instead, this is the end of the beginning. The beginning of the war began. We've just ended the beginning. We're now going to go into the middle stage of this war. Genesis 1:1 starts out in the beginning. The beginning. You've got verses in Ezekiel 28 talking about when Lucifer ruled the earth and he's going from one planet to another. He's a spice trader. He's got sanctuaries. He falls because of his riches. That's why the Apostle Paul says the love of money is the root of all. Not money, the love of money. It says because of the increase of his riches. Okay.
So Lucifer's fall predates the earth being established for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the thing is, the beginning starts, in fact, really, if you want the beginning, you have to go closer to Job 38. Go to Job 38. You find so many people who try to make everything happen right after Genesis 1:1, and for one thing, in English, you don't have to do that. It doesn't say that in English, okay? Then they're like people in some little tiny box trying to do jumping jacks. There's just not enough room to do anything in that period of time. They try to come up with gap theories and all this. You don't need all that, okay? You don't need anything of that sort. It's not there. The world, well, look at Genesis 38.
Job
38. Thank you, Ronnie. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? That's a great statement. Very polite way, all right? All right. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations of them fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? So whenever he laid the foundation, the angels were already made. He says that, okay? You've already got to get seas and all that stuff going on. So these people trying to stick the beginning of the earth at the beginning of Genesis 1:1, I know that's traditional, you know, that, whatever else. And, you know, if you go to a traditional church, that's fine. But it isn't what your Bible says, okay? I don't know. The universe could be billions of years old for all I know, okay? I don't see, you know, I don't find a Bible reason against that. Now, mankind, as he is on the earth, is only 6,000 years old, okay? As mankind as you see him on the earth today. The earth is, you know, go ahead.
Is Job the oldest book in the Bible?
Job is, yeah, it was the, yeah, it's really the oldest book on earth. If you judge a book by having characters, a plot, and a beginning and ending. For example, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Vedic scriptures, they're older, but those are just accumulations of a bunch of stuff thrown together. Job actually has characters, a plot, and it makes it the oldest book on earth, okay? Where one whole story is being told, and that's what it is. And again, it's the science book of the Bible, okay? So, Job talks about, let's see, go to Job 9. Let's see. Job 9, verse 5. which removeth the mountains, they know it not, which overturneth them in anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun to rise at night, and sealeth the stars, okay? Which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. And it's interesting, because it's describing the chambers of the south, which can't be seen from Palestine, okay? It's describing things that only be seen in the southern hemisphere. All right? But so that itself is fascinating. And he talks about Arcturus and his sons. We know today that Arcturus is kind of crazy. It goes faster than any of the other things in the heavens. It's not in the normal course of stars and such. All right. But the thing is, God overturned the mountains and he moved the earth. Proverbs chapter 8, go there. I'm taking a different course than what I'd thought, but we'll struggle through this if you guys will endure me.
Sorry, say Proverbs.
Proverbs 8. So far, it's the only chapter in between 7 and 9. Randy loses sleep over those, so.
I was waiting for a comment.
Yeah, no, he's restrained himself.
Congratulations.
By the man.
All right. Wisdom is going to talk, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. So this is something that went on certainly before Genesis 1:1. All right. Then it goes on and says, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Well, as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Now, it's interesting because Genesis 1:1 is only the beginning of one heaven. And yet the other heavens were already there. It says so right there. Okay. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. What's a compass?
360 degree
circle. Okay. The book of Acts, it says, and they fetched a compass. Talking about they're in the boat. In other words, they went in a complete circle. So he set a compass upon the face. So how many degrees in it?
360.
How many days are there in the Hebrew year?
360.
360. Okay. Originally, when God set the earth up, it was a geocentric universe, just like the people in the Middle Ages believed, okay? The earth was in the middle of it, and you had 360 degrees as things went around. The book of Job talks about the Maseroth. You know what the Maseroth is? It's the Hebrew name for the zodiac, okay? The 12 signs. What do we have on our clock? 12 signs, 360 degrees. That's how many times it takes for a second, for the second hand to go around, 360 degrees. And so all the seasons were done by that. But God moved the earth, didn't he? It's no longer sitting in the center of that circle. Okay? And that's why it tells you, woe unto them that divide the heavens. All right? You don't have, anybody that's ever played with astrology, you know there's something to it. You know that. All right. I'm not proud for having looked into it, but there's stuff to it. All right. And yet I've never seen anybody that didn't just mix themselves up like a Chinese fire drill trying to dig into what's in it. And yet which people come up and they'll talk about this guy, this, but born into this. And there's a lot to it. Okay. But your Bible tells you, and that's why the Apostle Paul says, you who were in bondage to the elements of this world. Okay. You were born under the bondage of the elements of this world. It's a magnetic thing, everything else. The very way of women, who got so controlled by the moon and it's going around the earth and the tides of the earth and the things that go on. When I lived in the Philippines, they locked lunatics up every time there was a full moon. Well, it's a lunatic. Somebody went crazy when there's a full moon. I knew one of the girls personally. Her name was Julie. And she'd ask to be like, ask any nurse in a maternity ward what it's like during a full moon, all right? You're in bondage to the elements of this world. It's out there. It's like that, okay? And all of those things controlled by that. But when God moved the earth, okay, who's the prince of the power of the air?
Satan.
Satan, okay? And he controlled all that. And that's one of the greatest statements by Larkin is this. He talks about how that when God made the firmament and called it heaven, so he didn't call it good. He didn't call it good. Why? Because the devils immediately re-inhabited the heavens, okay? The prince of the power of the air, okay? It has that kind of control over people.
There was an old guy, he's been gone for many years. He was probably almost 90 years old when I worked with him. And he used to plant those signs, and he was a grave digger. One of the first jobs I had, we'd go up and dig graves, and he'd have certain days. He had to dig them when he had to dig them. But there were certain days that you would dig that earth, and you'd have plenty of too much left to even pile it up.
Right.
And he said sometimes you dig that earth on the right day, and it you wouldn't have enough to fill the hole.
It has some, and it's like that, you know, those guys with the witching sticks.
Yeah.
There's some to all that. Mm-hmm. You know, there is. When I lived in Vermont, they started a thing in Danbury, Vermont, or Danville, Vermont, and where they actually, it was a witching convention with the sticks. They had people come all the way from Saudi Arabia and everything else, and every weirdo occult thing you could imagine, those people got into. And, you know, and a lot of it, there's some to it. I don't want to play with it, all right? I believe there's a lot to it. I don't want to play with it. I want to be free. I want to be spiritually free. I don't want to be, entangled with any of that stuff, okay? But that's why the Apostle Paul, you were in bondage under the elements of this world, okay? The born-again experience makes you free from being captive of the elements of this world,
Amen.
Okay? So, and again, if you're smart enough to keep it, all right? And not put yourself back under that bondage, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so the thing is, he talks about when he set a compass upon the face of the great deep. And that's where you get that 360 degrees from. That's why in the book of Ezekiel, when it's talking about the devil in that talks about being a mariner. Why? Because they floated from one island to another. Okay? They went from one island to another. Then when God went ahead and it says he withdrew the waters, and then he sent the waters and overturned the earth. You'll find that in the book of Job. What's a tsunami? How many people remember the Christmas Day tsunami about 15, 16 years ago in Thailand? Okay? There was a British girl sitting there with her family. And all of a sudden, everybody, whoa, look, all the water rushed out. And she said, she told her parents, get out of here. She's an 11-year-old girl, but they just studied tsunamis. They're one of the families that live, because that girl knew that's a tsunami. When that water comes back in, bam. And that's what happened to the earth. God took all that away and then flooded the earth. And that's how you find it in Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the waters. Okay? You know the devil's already fallen because there's darkness.
Yeah.
God is light. In him is no darkness at all. The devil's already fallen at that point. Okay, and the earth, and that's why it has no form or void, because it's all the mountains, they're just wiggling and jiggling, and it's lost all its form. It's like a big ball of mud. Go to Jeremiah 4, look at verse 23.
Can you explain the word void? Because to me, like that.
Void is an empty place.
So
if you voided, if a nurse says he voided his bowels, what, he emptied them. Okay, a void is an empty place. Okay, to avoid someone is not to have them in your life. There's an empty place where that person would be. That's what a void is. The earth was without form, but neither were there big like holes for, you know, anything of that. There are no mountains nor big, you know, canyons or anything like that. It's just a big ball of mud. Okay, but look at Jeremiah 23.
In chapter
4. Excuse me, 423. Thank you.
I knew I wasn't losing it.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, you've already lost it.
Yes. I'm the one losing it. All right, here we go. Jeremiah says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. When did that happen?
Well,
that's right. He's a prophet. He's seen it. Without form and the heavens, and they had no light. Isn't there darkness upon the face of the earth? And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. Why? Because it's underwater. It's all lost its form. Okay? And all the hills moved lightly, and behold, there was no man, and the birds of the heavens had fled away. And I beheld, and the fruitful places in the wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and of his fierce anger. That's the pre-Adamic earth. That is the earth before Adam. Destroyed. Okay? It's destroyed. Who populated earth? Angelic creatures. Okay? Not men, angelic creatures. When you see an angel in the Bible, what's he look like?
Man.
He looks like a man.
Right.
They mistake him for men. Okay? He's an angelic creature, okay? Paul just says they have different flesh.
Sometimes they act like they know what they are, and other times they act like
they don't know what they are. That's right. So again, and you just had, that's what ruled the earth, okay? And they ran the earth. I don't know how long. They ruled the cosmos. And that's why.
Okay, sorry, we're over here. What, how do the birds fit in? Birds are around whatever day that they're created, and the birds fled here.
Whatever birds were there before. On that earth, that pre-Adamic earth.
I was wondering if, because I had the same question, like, so maybe they're just another species we don't see here, but we'll see when we get to heaven?
Could be, or maybe never again. Okay.
Or maybe they're dinosaurs?
Timothy?
Is the birds referencing the devils?
It could be. It could be that it's the devils. I'm gonna take it literally and say it isn't, and yet no doubt in the New Testament there are parables where birds are devils. Okay? Alfred Hitchcock thought they were, all right. Yeah. Yeah, woodchucks.
I'm going to smoke them too.
Yeah. But again, the whole point of that is, Debbie, you had an earth, the cosmos, the universe was opened. It's trading back and forth, all of them open back and forth. And that's why the Apostle Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What? They're separated from us now. And yet they're out there.
I have another dumb question. Because of the birds being here, when did the dinosaurs walk? Would they have walked during Lucifer's time or during Adam's time?
Probably both. There are, you know, when I was young, they taught that the dinosaurs predated man. Now they found too much evidence of men's footprints and dinosaur footprints in the same places, okay? More than likely, the dinosaurs were wiped out by the flood, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not good enough to know the answer to that, okay?
Listening to different creationists who say that because of death came by Adam, so that the dinosaurs couldn't have died in the pre-Adamic world because it came through sin and through Adam, and so that they would have been here. That's what I've heard. That's where they draw the line with the dinosaurs. So what that's
called. And again, that's not bad reasoning as far as that goes. Death certainly came on man, okay, by Adam. You know, so the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, all right, you know, there's death there. But certainly from man. That's not bad reasoning on their part. The problem I have with most creationists is they end up having to correct the Bible to make it work.
That's right.
Most of them do. Most of them one way or another. You know, the, Yes, sir.
How did internet, and why was there man's footprints? I thought nothing lived before dinosaurs.
Well, we do know that men and dinosaurs, for example, there's some dinosaurs still alive. Like if you saw a Komodo dragon, you'd say that was a dinosaur, okay? If you saw a crocodile, you'd say that's a dinosaur. And yet, that's not what we're talking about with dinosaurs are. We're talking about Tyrannosauruses and Brontosauruses and Stegosaurus. We're talking about things. But
you
there,
didn't even say that snake is dinosaur since back then. There were a couple of snake dinosaurs.
That's right, there were even snake dinosaurs. But there is evidence. And by the way, that is a good question. There is evidence with men's footprints and those dinosaur footprints all being in the same place. Yeah. I don't know if anybody's ever settled that, but there's evidence of it.
It's right there at the Biloxi Riverbed in Linrose, Texas.
Okay.
It's hundreds of yards with man and dinosaur footprints right
there. All together.
Not only together, but there's one place where you can clearly see that the dinosaur stepped in the mud. No. Yeah, the dinosaur stepped on one of the men's footprints.
Okay, there you are.
And if somebody, you know, they come up with all these crazy theories.
Never forget.
Erase the evidence. But
evolution is a racist, vile thing. Go find any picture of evolution,
right,
starting with the ape, and go, what color are the first men?
Black.
Aren't they?
They
all are. Go find any one of them. You're taught from childhood that black man is a pre-white man thing. You're taught that from childhood. That's a vile thing, okay? That's grievous, okay? It's beyond the pale that anyone should teach that. And that's why Margaret Sanger was an evolutionist who believed black people were inferior. That's why Adolf Hitler was an evolutionist who believed black people were inferior. That's why Ho Chi Minh, was an evolutionist. They hated black people. Che, you see black people with a Che thing on there, Che Guevara. Che Guevara hated black people. He wouldn't even take them prisoner. He shot them when he found them, all right? Hated them. And, you know, it just, but it's the brainwashing today that people have out there. It's the new chic thing. So everybody believes this, okay? And there's no truth to any of that, okay? But, yeah. But that's why, for example, if you'd sat down in a Nazi school, they would have taught you. What is Nazism? It's National Socialism with racial preferences.
I just want, for anybody in education that's not familiar with the full title of Darwin's book, it's On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. That's the full title of his book.
Struggle of Favored Species. And you would, there's not an Englishman alive at that time who wouldn't have said that white people are that favored people. All right? There's not an Englishman alive who wouldn't have said that. Okay? All right. So often the schools trying to fight that very kind of poisoning are sitting there inculcating people with that kind of poisoning.
That's right.
Okay? And don't you ever get caught up in that kind of poisoning.
No, sir.
All right. So back to 2 Peter.
Specifically, Acts tells us that we're all one blood.
One blood. Long before man ever figured it out, the Bible said of God have made of one blood all men. All right.
And yet we're so hell-bent on killing each other.
Well, that's exactly right.
Well, that's...
That's because of dumb jokes about where chapter and verses are.
You
never
know.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. All right, so back to 2 Peter 3, look at verse 6. Whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. Okay, the earth didn't perish, the world, all the people on top of it perished, okay? That's happened twice. It happened in Noah's flood. And actually, even then in Noah's flood, the world didn't perish. If you notice what went on immediately afterwards, the world was alive and well in that little family, all right? But the world run by Lucifer, the anointed cherub, those angelic. And again, when we say angelic, everybody's thinking like, you know, sci-fi or fantasy or whatever. No, they're creatures with different flesh than us, okay? Yes. And again, that's why in the book of Amos it says, and a portion of the great deep was burned up. War. When Lucifer fell, the war that went on with God, it would have made Star Wars look like a little kid's game, okay? A portion of the great deep is burned up. And the absolute war that went on there.
Every time I look at the Milky Way, I kind of think of that.
Yeah, and then God took man and grabbed the dust of the earth where the devil used to walk around and made a man and said, gave him dominion over the fowl of the air, the dust of and the fish of the sea, okay? Gave him dominion, the devil saying, that thing's going to rule, okay? That thing's going to rule us.
That's right. When I went up to the Hamburg tent meeting, and like I was much younger, so I went to like the one Sunday school thing kind of thing, you know, during the early morning services, and the one year I remember as we're riding, you know, cause every year we'd sing, you know, these songs as we're riding. The one song was I forget what it was, but the one verse was, you know, and if Satan doesn't like it, he can sit on a mat. Well, I remember, you know, I came back and and I was seeing that, you know, while we were at our tents, and I said that, and my mom looked at me, and and mind you, this is way before she was saved, and she looked at me, she goes, don't be so much of an idiot as to insult Satan. She goes, because, and I forget exactly the wording, because he was able to have a war with God, and he still came out of it.
Yeah, you know, and that's where it says, revile not the gods. And even Michael the archangel, when disputing on the body of Moses, didn't rebuke him. He said, the Lord rebuked me. Okay. All right. Well, the last I talk about the world that then being overflowed with water perish, but the heavens and the earth that are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. So the Bible promises God will never again flood the earth. You're going to burn it. But, going to burn it. And, but he's not going to flood it again. Now, I'll say this, and I'll put this out. We probably won't go on much more here. I got into a conversation with a man I have a lot of respect for down in southern Pennsylvania over closer to Pittsburgh, Dr. Timothy Lucian. And he's just a man that does a lot of his own thinking. I don't agree with him on everything, but it's refreshing to get behind somebody who does his own thinking. And but he believes it when it says a new heaven and a new earth. It's a brand new heaven. I said, no, it's this one made over. He said, but it says a new earth. Okay, are you a new creature in Christ? Yes, you are.
Okay. That's right. Yep.
But yet you're the same creature. Okay. When God told Abraham, you'll inherit this land, is he really saying no on a different planet? No, that land. Mm-hmm. That land. When the English burned John Wycliffe, okay, they took his bones. It was 30 years after he died, the Catholic Church had him dug up and they burned his bones and then spread the ashes on the Avon River. And it's like the poet said, those ashes floated all over the world and the word of God went all over the world. But they did that with the idea now he can never resurrect. Do you think that's a problem with God to resurrect John Wycliffe?
Nope.
Not a problem at all. Okay? Do you think it's going to be a problem for God when he burns this earth up to put it all back together again, that Abraham can stand on that land again? Not a problem for God. Okay? And that's why Solomon said the earth abideth forever. And yet it says the earth will be destroyed. Which one is it? It's both. Okay? You just have to take them both, and which is the plausible thing where you're not doing any violence to Scripture to believe it. Okay? Miss Amy.
There's a verse in 2 Peter 3:13 that says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So the righteousness makes it new because.
That's good, Amy. That's a good point. I like that. See, just the idea of wherein dwelleth righteousness, that'd make it pretty new, all right? If my house dwelt righteousness, it'd make it a new place, right? You know? So that, Amy, that's a tremendous point. I've never heard that said, okay? I really like that. I'll probably preach that next time. I won't give you credit, but I'll probably preach it next time. All right? That really is good. All right. Mr. Ronnie, would you close us in prayer, please?
Father, Lord, we thank you for everything that we've heard tonight, Lord. We praise you for the word of God. Father, we pray that you give us such a wonderful teaching to respond to us, Lord. Lord, we pray that what we've heard